Title of today's message is All Things. And I got the title of today's message based on 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where it talks about all things have been given to us. And I meditated on this thing where it talks about all things. In other words, everything that we have. Everything. I want you to just stop and think a minute. Everything that you have and possess in life is because of the goodness and glory of God. The Bible says that He reigns on the just and the unjust, even those unbelievers, those that do not believe in God, even those, God still knows them, created them, and loves them. They have a choice to make, but you, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, have made that choice that says, I love you, Lord. Come and live and be in my life. Forgive me of my sin. And He's faithful and just and true to do just that, right? You guys understand and realize that we're not saved and going to heaven because of all the good works that we do? Is that clear? We're saved, Crystal. Amen. We're saved because of the grace of God, this beautiful, beautiful gift that God has given us. Amen? Amen? But I read something very recently and it struck a chord in me. And it said that what happened to the radical transformation of Christians when they accept Jesus Christ as Lord, what happened to it? It's as though reading the Word of God and the preaching that comes from pastors and teachers alike has just kind of made people learn how to live a better life. I'm here to tell you that there is power in the Word of God, and it's called supernatural power. A couple weeks ago, I told you that power simply means ability. God has given us ability because of Him and because of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. But we live so short. We live so beneath our capabilities as a Christian because God, if you allow Him, will radically transform you. He will radically take what is so worldly in you and transform it to the very godliness that the Bible says that we've received. Amen? Amen. My mantra, my mandate in life, I believe, is I want to build strong families. Amen. I want families of God to be so strengthened. And when I marry somebody, I tell them the very first thing in any kind of counseling session is the marriage between the two of you cannot just be between the two of you. There has to be a third party. And it has to be God, the Godhead, the center, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and the two of you. And with that, your marriage will be strengthened. But there are so many concepts and ideas. Everybody's got a God nowadays. Everybody has a God. And I believe there's Christians out there who are saying, my God, talking about their God, but denying the very power that God, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, has given us. Amen? Amen? Maybe I'm preaching to the choir. Maybe you guys got it so down pat that you're moving in the mighty power of the Lord every day of your life. Maybe this is just a reminder, or maybe this is a wake-up call. Amen? Because we wonder, why? Why do bad things continue to happen? Why are we in trials? Why do we have temptations still? Most of that revolves because we're still moving in the flesh. When the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, it's through Christ, not through self. I can sit down and do sit-ups and push-ups in my own strength. But when we're talking about doing things that really, really matter, and you try to do them in your own strength, it's not the same thing. The power of God is alive and real. Anybody who is accustomed to praying daily will see that. Amen? I will challenge you today. I just had somebody share a small testimony with me about how God was working in their life. And I'm here to tell you, open your eyes up to be able to see every tiny blessing that there is, because the tiny blessings add up over time. And the more you can see the power of God moving and working around you, the more encouraging and the more, I guess, fitted or firm, standing on that firm foundation. I'm at a loss for words. But when you understand how awesome God is and that he's not just an idea, and that coming to church is not just a club or a membership, but when you come together to corporately praise and invite and welcome the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, that things change and things happen.
Amen.
Why come to church? Why come to church? If you got the idea that coming to church is just to kind of pay your dues or you're going to get a better reception when you go to heaven, you're missing the point of the process. Coming to church is a place to learn and grow and be encouraged by other believers. Amen? This is a place where we can see that, man, there are differences being made in the community around us because believers are coming together and the area is being transformed, not in the name of government, not in the name of good community service, but in the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because the Christian body comes together and then leaves. We've got a sweet lady in this ministry. She has the boldness that many of us pray for. Anytime something's going on, she just simply says, "Oh, let me pray for you," and starts to pray. That is the boldness that we are talking about. Why does she do that? I believe she believes that there is power in the name of Jesus. I believe that she believes that there's power in God Almighty. I believe that she believes that she has the ability through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit in her that she can actually pray and watch God move in somebody's life. When we forget these things, we now become carnal-minded. But when we stay focused on those things, we're spiritually minded. As Christians, we can be carnally minded or spiritually minded. Carnally minded is no different than the world. But we're supposed to be a light in the midst of darkness. Yes or no? I believe so. The Word says it. I want to go back to Old Testament today in some reading to take us to New Testament and shine the light on some differences. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 30 right now, verse 19 and 20. This is one of my favorite scriptures, one of my favorite scriptures of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. But I pick it up in verse 20 as well because it's very important. But verse 19 says, "Today I have given you the choice." Everybody say, "Given the choice." Everybody is given a choice. About 5,000, 20,000 times a day. I mean, the number's huge up there. Go out to eat and try and pick something out. You probably make 15 different choices trying to figure out what you're going to eat, right? But today, he's given us the choice between life, everybody say life, and death, say death. Between blessings, say blessings, and curses, say curses. All right, you've said it, so that's even, it's in your head, right? "Now I call on heaven and earth to witness." Now mind you, heaven and earth, all of creation, are you with me? To witness right now the choice that you make. And then it says, "Oh, that you would choose life." If you're wondering what you're supposed to choose, God tells you right here, "Oh, that you would choose life. Choose life so that you and your descendants might live." Now I'm going to stop right there and I'll pick up 20 in just a minute. Now that word life in here, this word simply is pertaining to vitality of life, a living life, like right now, you and I, okay, as we're breathing air. The vitality of life, though, means that this life is vigorous. It's awesome. It's amazing. It's not just the, "Oh, I'm waking up in the morning, humdrum, woe is me." No, this is a good life. And God is saying, when you choose life and you choose blessings, wow, watch out. Just in the natural. This isn't supernatural. This is just natural teaching. Are you with me?
Yep.
So when you wake up and you're like, "Oh, Lord, man, I'm just going to choose the things that are good for me in life," you live a good life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Are you with me? Okay. When we get into the New Testament, life takes on, the word life takes on a completely different meaning.
Yep.
Are you with me? Okay. And that's because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But we're looking at this and we're going, okay, Old Testament, how does this pertain? It still pertains. You make some good choices and 9 times out of 10, some good things are going to take place in your life. And every day that you wake up and you're like, wow, thank you, Lord, and you make good choices, your life tends to be better. That's just the way it is. It's a principle of God that has been set up for the benefit of us, right?
Yes, sir.
But this is now just kind of instructing us on how to live a better life. Because everyone in here knows right from wrong, even down to the toddler. They'll do something and they'll test you. They'll be like, ooh, I know I'm not supposed to touch this, but no. Yep, I was just testing. But they already know. That's why they're slow to go at it after they've already been corrected, right? Are you with me? Because they still know right from wrong, because parents are teaching them. Well, our parent, God, is teaching us. Got some decisions to make. If you want to just live a naturally good life, choose the things that are good and bless you, okay? That's natural, though, not spiritual. This is natural. And verse 20 says, you can make this choice by loving the Lord. All right, so how do I choose life? By loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. Huh. When I get into the New Testament, everything that we've been told here is mirrored. Is mirrored. And then it says, your Bible might not say this, I'm reading out a New Living Translation, but I've been talking to you about the kingdom of God and keys, right? With keys you can unlock or lock, forbid or permit, right? Bind or loose. Here it is. This is the key to your life. So what is the key to our life? The key to our life is obeying God, loving God, and committing yourself firmly to him. But see, all good things come from the Lord, right? All bad things are the absence of good. God is not bad. He is the very presence of good. Evil is the absence of good. Are you with me? So he's saying, here's the key. If you want to live a good, natural life, submit to God, obey him, love him, keep his commands, keep what he's telling you to do. What is he telling you to do? Love him. Is that clear? Makes sense to me. So, as New Testament Christians, we haven't seen Jesus walk in the earth back 2,000 some years ago, right? We're not in this Israeli old covenant, like law teaching thing. We're not going through religious ceremonies and things like that. We're New Covenant Christians, right? In this New Covenant Christianity, a lot of things still happen. The Word of God is very clear if you read it, and it's very helpful if you apply it. I heard a saying this week, and I thought, wow, that's really good. It comes from the sense of the Word in 2 Corinthians 5:7. This is us. It says, for we live by believing, or we live by faith. Not by seeing or by sight. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you with me? So, what we tend to do is we tend to look at things and go, oh, man. Oh, that could be really, really bad. And we instantly say, ooh, that could be really bad. And all of a sudden, we start to perseverate on the thoughts of how bad it could be. And we start to think of all the what ifs. You ever heard the saying, what if its and ands were pots and pans? In other words, what if doesn't mean anything because it hasn't been proven. What ifs are filling the American church? What ifs are filling the minds of believers all of the time? Well, what if this? Well, what if this? Well, what if this? Well, what if? How about just have some faith? Because we live by faith, not by sight. In other words, and this is the word that I was coming to, Worry ends when faith begins.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When we look at something and the circumstance looks bad, we start to worry about it. When you start to worry about it, all of a sudden your faith takes a back door. Either God is in control and he's going to help you through this, or he's not. Where's your faith? My faith is that the Lord is going to take me through this. It's going to take my wife through this. It's going to take my church family through this. It's going to take my kids through this. That is where my faith needs to stay. Otherwise, I'm just a pastor who's filled with a bunch of worry because there's all kinds of junk. You'll never be short on the possibility of worry. Are you with me? But our faith needs to be bigger than the worry that comes into our life. That's how things start to transform in your life. When you see something horrible taking place and you go, you know what, God? I love you. And the Bible tells me that you will even give me the desires of my heart. I know that you say no weapon formed, although the weapon's been formed, it won't prosper against me. Bible says, if you're for me, who can be against me? Or what can man do to me? Right? And so all of a sudden you start to talk about these things because there's power in the Word, and the Holy Spirit, who's powerful, brings you into remembrance of these things. And you go, okay, I don't have to be in that situation anymore. I can choose to live a better way, spiritual way, holy way, by having faith. Why do I say faith is a spiritual holy way? Because our faith is the evidence of things not seen, right? And the things hoped for. We haven't seen this, but yet when you keep the faith, it does transform. It does manifest. And all of a sudden, what does that do? That builds your faith. Has anybody had God? I want to see a show of hands. Has anybody had prayer answered in here? Okay. I think that was just about everybody in here, okay? Y'all, if you didn't look around, you should have. That is your faith in action, right? Yes, power means ability. That is your power, your ability in action. Wisdom is applying what you know, right? We've been talking about this. When you do that, and all of a sudden, now everybody's had prayers answered from God that you give credit to? Where's your worry? Where's your worry? Oh, God, I was worrying for no reason. Who's ever said that? Right? I mean, seriously, we don't have to. So we need to keep focused and fixed on these things. We live by faith, not by sight. God is an awesome God. It is our faith that keeps us fixed and focused on the things of our Creator. I live by faith. I mean, we have the simplest faith that we're going to go out and get in a car, turn the key, and it's going to start. And we sometimes have more faith that the car is going to start when I put the key in than we do that God's going to manifest and show up and answer your prayer. Think about that. Do we serve a God of power or not? Tell me. Power? Yeah? Yeah, power. Not a God of weakness. He's the Creator of all things. And when you focus on that and you realize, wow, what am I worrying for? You have a whole new perspective on life, and it changes. It changes your very well-being. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Pastor Weldon was here yesterday, or last week, and he brought a wonderful word talking about how awesome and wonderfully we were created. Why? To do the will and the work of God. To have a relationship with Him. And so 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 goes on. It says, God's divine power has given us everything, or all things we need for life, underline that, and godliness. This power was given to us through knowing or knowledge of the one who called us by His own glory and integrity. Thank you, Jesus. Through His glory and integrity, He has given us His promises that are of the highest value. God's promises are of the highest value. Not man's promises. God's promises are of the highest value. And you will share in the divine nature because you have escaped the corruption that sinful desires cause in the world. These two verses, there is a lot there. There's more here than what I will go through today. There is a lot in this. The first word I want to go to is that word life. Now remember in the Old Covenant, how to live a good life is to choose blessings, right? Choose life, choose blessings, not death and curses. This is kind of how to naturally do things, obey God, listen to Him, love Him. But this life here, and it meant the old covenant life was like your breathing life, the vitality of life, you know, just as I live life vigorously. This new life here, the new covenant life, has a huge, huge, huge meaning to it. And I want to read this. This life is life real and genuine, a life active and vigorous. So this life is vitality, but it's also devoted to God, blessed, in the portion even in this world of those who put their trust in Christ. Now all that right there kind of sounds like the old life, the old covenant life, right? Obey God, right? It's the same thing, right? But then it goes on. It's called Zoe life. But after the resurrection, it's to be consummated by a new accessions, among them a more perfect body, and to the last forever. And it's to last forever. In other words, the life that they're talking about here, the life that they're talking about in John 10:10, it's a vital life, right? Vitality. But it is also one word simplified, and that word is salvation. You have been given all things because of Jesus Christ that pertain to salvation. Think about it. So now, we've been quoting this scripture a lot throughout the years. You've been given all things that pertain to life. Jesus came so that you could have life and life more abundantly. Jesus came so that you could be saved. You've been given everything that pertains to you being saved. Wow. Now I'm starting to think on this a little bit differently. So it's not just this life that I'm living and breathing, but it is a very salvation of my existence. I've been given everything that guarantees me, here's a promise, that I will have eternal life in heaven with the Father God, and I believe I will know every one of my brothers and sisters and family members there, okay? Wow, so this is really big now, because this isn't just life right here. This is life evermore. This is life ever after. This is a continuation. It's the bigness and fullness of we've been given this. And then it says a life for godliness. And I thought, whoa, so what does godliness mean? I've been given this life, this salvation, for godliness. You know what godliness means? It means a Godward attitude. Check your attitude. Every day, is your attitude towards the things of God, or is your attitude in opposition or away from the things of God? See, you've been given everything to have a life towards godliness, but it's up to you now to pick and choose and focus where it's going to be. Are you with me? Yes. Now, think about this. There's a scripture, 2 Philippians. Turn to 2 Philippians. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13. Paul writes, and we talk about this a lot, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will, to do His word, and to act according to His purpose." So now, we're looking at this, and right, so I've got all things given me that pertains to salvation, and I also have this godliness that should be a Godward attitude. Another word for that is duty, right? To give your life, right? What does it say, Romans 12:1, your most reasonable service? Right? How's that go? Good job. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, yes, to God. This is your reasonable service. So we're looking at this and we go, okay, so godliness, what does that mean? Well, when you say or feel like you're falling short in that, we always turn to, well, that's why I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling. That's what it means. I work out my salvation with fear and trembling. That word fear in there where it talks about fear and trembling, that word fear doesn't mean be afraid of God, okay? Because if it did mean be afraid of God, be fearful of Him, and then we make these quotes like, faith is the absence of fear, But our whole belief system in God is faith. It doesn't make sense, right? Or when Paul is exhorting people and saying it is the goodness of God that draws people to him, it would be contradicting each other if fear really meant the word fear here. So here's the word fear. In working out your salvation with fear, reverence. Let's simplify it. Respect. So you've been given all things that pertain to life, salvation, and godliness, meaning a Godward attitude, a duty that you have. And then you're like, man, but all these things, I fall short in this area. I fall short in this area. I really don't feel very godly in any kind of way. I'm not really performing my duty. And then he quotes scripture. Well, you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, you need to work out your salvation that you have with respect. Okay, so now that takes my mind to a place. Do I respect God? Do I respect God? Do I have enough respect for him for saving my life? Do I have enough respect for him for giving me eternal life in heaven after this one's gone and done? Do I respect God for the transformation that he made in my marriage? Do I respect God for the overflow and abundance of finances? I think I have a lot of money. Do I respect God for the transformation that's taken place in my children? And I got to personalize it, mutter over these things. And I'm like, so as I work out my salvation with respect for God, am I working it out with respect for God or a lack of respect for God? You see, when you realize that your salvation is based solely on because of Jesus Christ, do I respect Jesus for his sacrifice on the cross? I start to think about this. The action that I'm doing right now, I have to ask myself, the action that I'm doing right now, is this very respectful in the kingdom of God? Does this show any respect to the badge of Christianity that I wear if I do this? And I start to think about, because we need to meditate on the word, guys, right? So I start, and I'm like, okay. So you understand that your life can start to be transformed, not because you're afraid of God and fearful of him, but man, why do you respect God? Yes. Yes. Why do you respect him? I respect him. Whoa, I think the list for me keeps going and going. I shared this in Bible study this week. I've seen it posted around. It said, what if you woke up today and the only thing you had was what you thanked God for yesterday? Yeah. And I thought, oh my gosh, yeah. Wow. Lord, what did I thank you for? Do you know when you start to thank and praise him, that's a form of prayer. When you start to thank God every day, you start to pray every day. Yeah. Wow, and your mind starts to get transformed on how you do things. And so for me, what's helpful is I go, okay, before I make this decision, is this respecting God, the kingdom of God, and all I stand for as a Christian, or is it bringing disrespect to it? And if it's bringing disrespect to it, I should not do it. I shouldn't do it. Why? Not because I'm trying to do good to get to heaven. No, Jesus accomplished that. Okay? Why should I do this? Because it is right. It's right. It's a good thing to think on those things of, wow, is this causing harm or is this causing good? And the trembling part, that trembling part is a personal thing for each person that says, oh, Lord, my flesh really wants to do this, but I'm going to work through it, and I'm not going to do it because I respect you so much. I'm not going to do it because I respect you so much. It brings a trembling inside because I don't want to disappoint my Heavenly Father. That only comes with a relationship with him. That doesn't come with a bunch of religious do's and don'ts. That only comes with realizing what he's done for you and being respectful of who he is as a sovereign, mighty, powerful God that loves you so much he wants you to be a partaker of it. Inheritant. To be inherited, a child with heirs to others that believe. Is that not amazing? I call that good news. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Come to me, all those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you things beyond your wildest dreams. You have a problem, lay it down at the altar. Give it to me. I'll shoulder it for you because nothing compares to what I did on the cross. That's my God. That's my Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
He's given us all things. But if we don't focus on these things that He's given us, the first starts with salvation. Whoa. And what did that mean? What does salvation mean? I know the word sozo is in there. I'm not going there right now. But what does it mean personally to you that you are saved? Radical Christian, the one that is just undone for God because you respect Him so much for what He's done. As you work out your salvation, don't worry about being afraid because that's not what I was talking about. Respect your God. Respect your God. And tremble within your own self as you make choices throughout life. That's simply it. No big deal. And then He's given us a divine nature. He gave us this divine nature. That's the characteristics of God. Maybe next week. Let's close in prayer. Stand to your feet. We serve an amazing God, church. He is awesome. And He loves you. He loves you. It is not a bad thing to respect God. It is not a bad thing to love God. It's a good thing and it's a right thing. Father, we are so thankful for this day that You have given us. Father, we do not take this day for granted. We do believe, Lord, that today is a gift, this very present moment, if you will. Father, we thank You for breath of life. We thank You for a deep desire, Father, to go deeper with You, to understand Your word more clearly, Father, to walk in wisdom as we apply it, Lord. The power You've given us, the ability, Lord, that You have given us to step out in our belief, our faith, Father. I thank You, Lord, that as You have created us, fearfully, awesomely, respectfully, wonderfully made, Father God, I thank You, Lord. I thank You that You didn't leave us as orphans, but You gave us so much more. You gave us a comforter that brings peace and joy and, Father, gentleness and kindness. You've given us a comforter that reminds us, Father, of who You are. You've given us a comforter that speaks when we can't speak. You've given us a comforter, Lord, who comforts us in times of need. Father, I pray that times of need will be few and far between for the body of Christ here today. I thank You for Your blessings, Father God, that pour out freely to those who love and know You. I thank You for Your favor, God, that is divine and pours out, Father. I thank You for Your grace, Lord. I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, and Father, the manifested presence of You that goes with us today and every day of our life. Now, Father, I ask that You supernaturally, abundantly, to overflowing, Father, remind people of who they are in You. In Jesus Christ's glorious name, amen. God bless.